Welcome back to the Rock Your Retirement Show. I'm your host, Kathy Klein. In August of 2020, we started following the life of a pre-retiree, Barbara Mock. She's retired now, and we're giving you updates on her life and what she's going through as long as she'll let us. So let's get started. Hey, Barbara, welcome back to the Rock Your Retirement Show.
Hi, Kathy. It's good to be back. I can't believe it's been so long since we've had time to be together. One thing I've enjoyed is getting back into this again without traveling so much in the motorhome. And now that we're in a regular home and I have a regular schedule, I'm looking forward to getting together with you and doing more podcasts on a regular basis.
Absolutely. And so you just kind of let the cat out of the bag. It sounds like you have a different living situation now than living in your RV. So tell us about it.
Yeah. So how we got here was during the pandemic, we decided to go on the road and be snowbirds. And we went to Arizona for two seasons. Last Christmas and Thanksgiving, we weren't home at all. And we really, really missed our family and our grandkids. And while we love the sun, we recognize that with an 11, 10, 10, and 7-year-old set of grandkids, that they're just now getting into football and soccer and volleyball and baseball. And time is short. We have about 10 years. And so that prompted us to consider moving and downsizing. And I think in previous podcasts, I talked about what our goals were, which was to...
Now, wait a minute. You're talking about downsizing, but I just mentioned that you've been in an RV for 2 years. So it sounds like you were upsizing to me. Tell us what's going on.
Actually, you're right. Exactly. You're right. So we were in the RV, but we still had a large home, 2.5 acres in Snohomish to maintain. And we had left our nephew there to house sit and to rake leaves and to do all that. But partway through, we realized that we were missing out on these grandkids and having that huge house to go back to for the other 9 months of the year. And so we never moved back in our house. We came back in the RV. We put it up for sale and it shockingly sold before it was listed, and we had 3 weeks to get out. So we loaded up our lives and all of our stuff really, really quickly. And then for the summer, lived in our motorhome, went on a trip to Spain. And now as of this time, we have just moved in 3 weeks ago into our new home, not far from where our children and grandchildren live. And it has been a ride. I have learned so much about moving and downsizing. So we went from about a 3,000 square foot house with an apartment attached to it to about a 1,700 square foot house, 3 bedrooms. Instead of 2.5 acres, it's about 5,000 square feet. It has a homeowners association that maintains the front yard, which they just came and mowed and weed whacked and blew the leaves. And I went, oh, wasn't that nice? It took them about 5 minutes. And it has a small side and backyard. And so I have to say the journey of buying a house, selling a house, and then waiting for it to be built. It took 6 months for it to be built. So we lived on our son's property in our motorhome up until we went to Spain. And then we lived inside their house for about 6 weeks. And at Thanksgiving, during the prayer time, my son said, and thank you, God, that the builder got the house done on time.
What is he saying?
Well, you know, I think what he's saying is that he was very generous when he offered to let us live on their property. I think back in May, he thought it would be for a few weeks. He thought we would find a house and we would sell the house and we would move into a new house. But buying a brand new house that was dirt when we purchased it meant we stayed there. So we were there a lot longer. I think in the motorhome, it was fine. But once you're inside your adult children's home, Nana and Papa, day in, day out, I do have to say I learned something. So if you're considering that, if you're a listener that's considering, have a really candid conversation about boundaries, about timing. When there's school-aged children in the house and the mom has a routine, my daughter-in-law is amazing, you can really interfere with that and mess it up, get them late for school. So we learned early on, they were very good about it, of telling us when and where that we needed to be available or not available. It's been a benefit to them. We can watch the kids anytime. We can water plants and everything. But it's a lot to have your parents living with you. And so we are eternally grateful for them. I'm also grateful we didn't break the relationship. Sometimes that can be a situation. There was one night where there was like, gosh, should we move? Should we get an Airbnb? And like, what should we do? And then the next day, everything was fine. It was just a small little minor misunderstanding. So I think the key is communication. If you're going to temporarily live with your kids or vice versa, really being clear on what the expectations are and then doing your fair share. We tried to cook. We do meals sometimes. We paid for food, but it's kind of a challenge. So getting a house closed, there's a lot to it when it's brand new. And so there were inspections that needed to be done, and there was walkthroughs, and then there were punch lists. And it's like the house is ready to move in 3 weeks before you move in, but there's all these processes. So that was really, really hard. If you do get the luxury, like I did, though, of moving into a brand new home, we had made the decision to purge everything, right? We recognized that our old kind of Snohomish country farmhouse furniture wasn't going to go into a contemporary home. And we got rid of all the furniture and everything, the beds, the sofas, because it wouldn't fit. So I had the luxury of a 6-month time frame to kind of plan what we were going to move into the house and use that time wisely. You wake up in the morning like, oh, I don't have any yard work to do. Well, what can I do? Luckily, I found a friend who used to be an interior decorator in her before retired life. And so she was just a great sounding board, somebody to talk to. So use your resources, friends that maybe have a good design style if you're going to do what we did and get rid of everything, sell it, donate it. Ask for some advice because I'm not good at this. I don't know what I'm doing. And she was just such an inspiration, so helpful. She didn't do what she wanted to do. She listened to what I was trying to do and kind of steered me in the right direction. So we had a lot of stuff ready, but the logistics of planning for a closing date and then furniture. So the first night, we didn't have any furniture. We closed and we moved in and our kids helped, which was wonderful. But we slept on sleeping bags on the floor until our beds arrived the next day. But I have to say it wasn't all a bed of roses, right? It's a beautiful home. It's comfortable.
No, wait a minute. Let's go back to sleeping on the floor. Why didn't you sleep in the RV?
Well, because we put the RV on consignment and it's up in Everett. So before we left in September, we decided we're going to sell the big, huge motorhome and put it up for sale. It hasn't sold yet because, like a lot of baby boomers who bought RVs, now with the interest rates so high, they're not selling.
Right.
From a financial standpoint, probably wasn't our best move. But from a lifestyle standpoint, it was the right thing to do. And it got us to the place where we are right now. And we're really, really happy with being with the kids and grandkids. So we didn't have a place to sleep.
Okay. So you stayed on your children's property until the house was ready and you stayed in your RV.
Right.
And then before you came to your house, you dropped the RV off for sale.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I get it.
Exactly. But yeah, it hasn't been easy adjusting. And I think it's been hardest for my husband because I'm just like all excited, all in, ready to go. But I kind of interviewed him and I asked him, I said, so how's it going? And I have to say the good thing about this podcast is we have discussions about things we would never, ever talk about. And a lot of times his answers are not exactly what I would expect. It's not all rosy. So I'm the half glass full person. He's a little bit maybe the half empty person. But I think we're on to something here because the baby boomers are retiring now, right? I'm right in the middle of it. I'm 65. I think there's thousands of us doing it every day. And we all have these decisions, you know, are we going to go on the road in an RV? We're going to stay in the house we're in. Are we going to remodel? Are we going to get new? I just talked to the realtor down here, down the street, and they sold 4 more houses this week. Now, this is at high interest rate time. The real estate market has stalled, but people that are our age have resources and they don't have to sell a house, but they want to get out of the house they're in. They want to get to level entry, no stairs, 55-year-old and old communities. So the hard things for him have been leaving his family and his neighborhood. It was where he grew up. So he's really struggled and kind of missed that. He misses his hometown. And that's my hometown too, but I'm kind of embracing the new and he's still a little bit looking back. We totally both underestimated the challenge of finding a new doctor, a new primary care doctor.
Oh, yes, is tough.
Finding a dentist, finding an eye doctor, finding your bank, finding a grocery store. When you've been in the same place for 44 years, it's just habit and routine. Keeping track of all of the new access codes. And, you know, and now everything's got a double access code. I said, this is driving me crazy. Everything's got a new login here. For him, the hardest thing was getting rid of all the stuff that he's acquired over 40 years. I was ready to let it all go, the furniture on the inside of the house, but he had a shop, a triple car garage. And so for him, it's like, it's been kind of a reckoning for him because all of his tools, all of his equipment, they're good stuff. And he's like, do I just throw it in the garbage? Do I sell it? Do I want to go through that? But he doesn't have room for it. And so recognizing that, you know, a house and a barn and mowers and weed whackers and gas cans, now someone else is going to take care of the yard. So this letting go has just been constant for him. When we were moving, he was traumatized. I thought he was going to be in tears. And so he just started loading up boxes. Well, now that we're moved in, he grabs some more boxes out of our son's garage, which I'm sure our son and daughter-in-law are happy about. And he goes through them and he says, yeah, there's these piles. There's the I'm going to donate it pile. There's the I'm going to save it pile, but where am I going to put it? And then there's the garbage pile. Like, why am I even keeping this stuff? But those decisions are really hard won. And it's caused him to kind of face the fact that we're getting older and we're not going to be doing the same things. For example, we used to overnight backpack, you know, with the 50-pound packs, the small tent, the little cooking thing. Guess what? We have all that stuff. Still have it all. Because why wouldn't you? You stick it in the garage. It's a 25-year-old top of the line mommy bag. No one's been in it for 25 years. He's having a hard time because he's, if I face it, it means I'll never go overnight backpacking again. The other things he said, I'll never do again. I'll probably never go bird hunting again because Sadie passed away, the bird dog. I'll probably never go snow skiing again. We still have all our snow ski equipment, but it's getting harder physically. I'll never go hunting again. I'll never go camping in like a little tent and everything. And yet you have all this stuff. So here it is facing you with this decision, keep or get rid of. But as you're getting rid of it, you're realizing you're old or
you're
older.
You're closing a book never to be opened again. It's hard.
It is really, really, really hard. It's really hard. The other thing is, it's kind of like when you're in a school schedule and the kids schedule dictates, so you don't have to make decisions about what to do with your weekend. So we've enjoyed that part of being down here. It's like weekends are fine. We went to 8 basketball games.
Oh my gosh.
Last weekend, because we have a granddaughter and a grandson and they're both in the same tournament. But now he doesn't have the responsibility of a yard. And so he's like, well, I could go golfing, but it's raining. And, you know, it's almost like there was just something about the routine that you would have. He's also not sure he feels at home here yet. He feels like it's a nice Airbnb, that none of the things that we had around us came with us. So maybe I overpurge, Kathy, because I just keep saying, well, but we can find new things that make it like home, but there's no pictures on the wall. So it does look like a nice Airbnb. I think not knowing anyone in the community other than our kids. We have made some friends, but it's winter in the Pacific Northwest and it was raining with this atmospheric river for 7 days. I mean, like record amounts of rain. So you're not out and about connecting and seeing people. So I think he's feeling a little like a little lonely, a little bit less responsibility, almost kind of what have I done? Still happy about it, but kind of struggling that way. So,
and you're in a 55 and older community?
Yes, yes, yes.
And do they have clubs?
Yes, they do. There's everything you can think of, right? But it's that first time, like, right? Because we've been moving, right? So I think, and you know, after the holidays and the turn of the new year, we can start connecting with people and figuring out kind of what we're going to do. But the last 2 years, we were in sun and warmth. And now we're inside of a new home with lots of things to do there. But then, the weather's not so great. So it's kind of a push and pull. I think one thing I wanted to share with the listeners, if you're considering doing something as drastic as what we did, take the time if you can, because it's usually an emotional decision, but to count the cost. There were so many things that we really didn't think about. We thought we did, but the cost of actually loading everything up, of moving, the cost of a moving van. Now, we beat our bodies up and now we're paying for it. Now he's got physical therapy for his hip because we're too cheap to hire movers. So we did it all ourselves and we're in our 60s. But I think it almost would have been better if we'd been older. Like, okay, there's no way we can do this. But just that physical cost, the cost of the moving vans, the cost of storage. Like for us, we had to pay for storage for 6 months. It adds up. The other thing you can do is, and I really encourage you, especially if you're moving to California or Florida for your retirement years, count the cost of insurance. What might seem cheaper, and for us it is cheaper for insurance, but what I've been reading about and hearing about is people going to downsize, going to a place, and then finding out either they're uninsurable or the insurance is too expensive for them. But find out everything. Find out what your taxes are. Ask the neighbors what the water bills, the sewer bill. Like we came from a place where we had a septic and drain filled. So there's no monthly cost with that. You might have to replace it. You might have to pump it. But, you know, but now we're moved to a place where sewer is about $100 a month.
Wow. That's a lot for sewer.
Right, right. Well, we're in the Pacific Northwest and there's probably a sewage treatment plant. It might include water too, though, actually. But then we had propane, so we had to fill a propane tank. Well, now we're on natural gas. But it's just easy to assume that it's a wash, that it might be equal or lower, but in some cases, things cost more. And so I do encourage you to like get a spreadsheet and to the degree you can, figure out whether you're going to net a higher cost when you're thinking you're downsizing and moving to a cheaper area. The other one is auto insurance. Depending on where you move to and what the population is, who knew? We've always lived in the same place. So our auto insurance was always the same. Moving here, it's less, but if we'd moved somewhere else, it could have been more. So I don't think we counted the cost on that real well. The other thing is furniture. If you're replacing your furniture and your furnishings, oh my gosh, you don't buy a bed every day and you don't buy a sofa. With the inflation, it's a shock. It's a sticker shock. But now you got rid of everything and you got to buy a sofa or a chair. And you want it to be nice because, you know, it's probably the last one you'll buy. So we underestimated on the furniture. And the other one is landscaping. Our backyard, we want to finish it. And it's just dirt right now. Obviously, we used to do it ourselves. The labor, right? We did the work. Well, now we're not physically able to lift big pieces of rock or stone or brick or whatever we're doing. So we underestimated the cost of landscaping.
And then I also want to tell the listener, don't underestimate the cost of hiring somebody to move you. When we moved across the country, we carried Les's big television set. And then when it went out, I don't know, 6 months later, we realized it cost us more to move that television than it did to buy a new one.
Exactly. Exactly.
It was crazy.
We've talked to people that actually did count the cost for moving their things, like from, you know, Seattle to Las Vegas, and they had all this furniture. it was cheaper to buy brand new furniture in their new city than it would have been to haul it across the country because of the fuel prices.
And it's by the pound.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
So it is something to really, really count ahead of time. And if you're going to do it anyway, then so be it. You just do it. But as I've been going through this, I've been thinking, wow, that, you know, something that sounds so good, like buying a motorhome, count the costs. Something that sounds so good, like, you know, downsizing and buying a new place, count the cost. Even if you count the cost and you still try to go through it, own your decision. Don't look back with regret. Just say, yeah, this was the right thing to do. But I wanted to give you the yin and the yang. But I love our new home. I have a guest room ready for you, Kathy, whenever you want to come. And it's got a gorgeous view of Mount Rainier. So there's lots to see and lots to do. And that's the other thing. I've lived in this state my whole life, but we lived in the northern part. So that's where you visit. It's like a whole new state to us. Even though it's the same state, there's so many parks and activities and festivals and things that, you know, we have a chance to go to that we didn't before. So my dad and his wife are coming up for Christmas. They're going to be our first guests in our new home. We're going to be all together this year where I wasn't with anybody last year. And so we have a lot to be grateful for, a lot to be thankful for. And I'm really excited about this next chapter of meeting new people, being in a new community, enjoying my grandkids for whatever time I have left.
That's fantastic. If you want to go back to your old city, how long does it take you to get from where you're at now to your old city if you wanted to visit friends?
On a good day, 2 hours.
It's not close.
It's not close. On a normal, you know, Seattle traffic day, anywhere from 2.5 to 3 hours, you just have to go, you know, when you go. My husband has a funeral. His aunt passed away, sadly. So he has a funeral to go to and, you know, to get there by 11, he'll probably have to leave at 8 to be sure. And so that is a ways away. And we have been back up for a shower and, you know, a little visit, and we'll try to get up, you know, during the holidays, but it's not on the way for us anymore. And that was why our kids didn't come up very much. It's not an easy trek, but now we're seeing them all the time. So it's been overall good. It's just, there's some things, if you're thinking about doing this, take some time to really figure it out and make sure that both of you agree and want to do it. And then you just got to incur each other when the times get tough, because they will. There's always challenges with moving.
Yeah. I mean, we moved across the country 5 years ago and we did a spreadsheet. I forget exactly what we did. I think that it's probably in the show notes from some of the previous episodes, what we did to find the community where we live, what we compared. And even though we did all this research, it still, there were things that we didn't realize. You know, we thought that it would be easy to find doctors, and this is pre-COVID, because we had 3 hospitals here. But that is not the case. Where I live, it's really hard to find doctors. And we are recording this at the end of 2023. So I'm not sure when this episode will be released, but listener, whenever you're hearing this, because you could be hearing this right when it's released, or you could be hearing it 5 years later. And the right now in today's time, it's really hard for businesses to find people to work, whether it be waiters at a restaurant or whether it be doctors at your local doctor's group. It's just, the baby boomers didn't have enough children, and now we are reaping the rewards of that. And I think it's going to get worse and worse over time. We're going to have all these retired people and not enough actual people working to support them. So listeners, we're all just going to have to learn patience, right?
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah. And I think next time we'll talk about, you know, the whole healthcare thing. I mean, we've got our pillars, right? And so the last episode was adventure and travel. And this one is, you know, home and family. I think next time we'll talk about health and healthcare. And there's just a lot going on. So,
yeah, a lot going on. So now you're close to family. And do both of your kids live in the same town, or how far away are you from?
No. So our son and daughter-in-law live about 15 minutes away from us, and we had them over for our first dinner in the new house, and it was just so fun. But at the end of it, my daughter-in-law said, "Do you realize that this is the first time that we've just had a dinner, the four of us, just a dinner in 13 years? Because they only come up for holidays, right? With everybody. It was just us." And she goes, "And the best part is we're 15 minutes away to go home and go to bed." And so that right there to me is like, you know, ka-ching, that's the priceless part of it. Our daughter lives about 2 hours south in the Portland area, but between where we live in Olympia, which is the center of Washington State, and their house, there's no big cities until you get to Portland. We're down there all the time now. I'd say twice a month, either they're up here or we're down there. And it's just kind of changed the whole dynamic of our family, where the cousins are seeing each other more often, because if she comes up, we're all here. If we go down. And so it's not right next door, but it's made it possible where if she needs me or my husband, she just calls and we're like, we're on our way, because we're retired. So
yeah,
in all ways, that's been great. And I don't know, it's just going to be a real new adventure living in this 55 plus community with other people. Everybody that's moving in down the street are the same exact situation. They're coming from somewhere else. They're downsizing. Most of them are coming to be near their kids or grandkids. Some of them are just choosing it here because they're climate refugees. I've met people from California and Texas where it's too hot, and they come here for the weather. That is a crack up to anyone who lives in the Pacific Northwest. Like, seriously, you're coming to the rain. Oh, yes, it's so much better than being on fire or, you know, hot or smoke or whatever. We're like, okay, well, welcome to the neighborhood.
That's funny. So it sounds like you have everything set up and you only have one thing left. And that is your plan for making friends, because that sounds like something that Mike really needs right now. So
you've
got to have that plan. I don't know if they have a list of clubs or whatever, but you've got to plan that out for January, February, March, April.
Well, the best part is he's still golfing with some of the folks we met from the neighborhood. So that's all good. But I met a lovely woman named Julianne, and she had put a note on our door about the loopers. And I said, "What's the loopers? Loopers?" Well, we live on a street that has the word loop in it. And so she came here to do the exact same thing you just said, to meet people. So she started her own little group. And it's the people that live on our little loop. And so
the cul-de-sac.
It's a loop. It's an actual loop. There's no end to it. It makes a loop. And so she put a note on our door, and tomorrow it's appetizers and drinks at the pavilion to get to know the new neighbors. And so there's already somebody doing this hard work for me. And so I'll be happy to join in and help out where I can. But I just think it's just wonderful. Like, we were here less than a week and we had a note on our door, because she doesn't know our name or number or email. So I'm going to get to do that. So hopefully he'll make some connections, because there's a lot of people that are in the same situation we are and, you know, looking for community, which keeps us healthier in our old age. Being lonely is not good for our bodies or our minds or our souls. And so if you are someone who's feeling lonely, be Julianne. Start reaching out to the neighbors and try to figure out how to connect.
I love it. That is a great way to end the show. Be Julianne. Reach out to other people. Thanks so much for coming on the show again, Barbara. This was a fantastic episode of hearing about what it's like. It's been a while for me since I moved, and you brought back all kinds of memories.
Yeah.
So thanks again. And for the listener, we hope you enjoyed this episode just as much as I did. And we'll see you next time. The Rock Your Retirement Show. Bye.
Bye.